You're listening to BitTalk, a podcast about Bitcoin, money, freedom, and the ideas that matter. I'm Mike, and I'm here for the signal, not the spin.
Hey, I'm Lauren. Welcome to BitTalk. Let's jump in.
So we're seeing something strange in the headlines lately. Corporate treasurers, people whose entire job is avoiding risk, are buying an asset famous for 70% drawdowns. Meanwhile, they're still holding government bonds labeled risk-free. I want to understand that paradox. What changed in the CFO mindset? And what does it tell us about the nature of money itself?
Right. It almost sounds like a riddle. What do risk-averse professionals do? Buy volatile assets and call safe bonds risky.
Exactly. But I think there's a real structural shift here, not just marketing hype. So let's work through it. Lauren, you've dug into the math on fixed supply. Why does that even matter for a corporate balance sheet?
Because the fixed supply is the structural pivot. Bitcoin's 21 million coin cap is hard-coded. No policy lever, no emergency vote, no committee can increase it. Compare that to fiat. Central banks can expand the money supply at will, and they do. The U.S. national debt is past $36 trillion now in 2026, and the pressure to create more money is relentless.
But isn't that just a theoretical feature? I mean, companies hold cash, they earn interest, they report profits. Where's the actual loss?
The loss is invisible in nominal accounting. Here's a concrete example. A company holds $500 million in cash, earning 0.5% interest. Inflation is running at 8%. That cash is losing about $37.5 million in purchasing power every single year. The CFO sees the interest income on the P&L. They don't see the silent evaporation.
Wow. That loss is real, but it's not line-itemed anywhere. So the fixed supply is basically saying, you can hold something where the supply won't be diluted. If demand holds or grows, your relative purchasing power is preserved.
Exactly. But let me be clear, this isn't a guarantee against price volatility. It's a guarantee against supply-side debasement. Those are two different things. Bitcoin's price can still swing wildly in the short term. What it cannot do is be printed into worthlessness.
So it's like a taxi company's fleet of cars. If the city keeps adding new taxi licenses, your existing car's value drops. Bitcoin has no such addition.
That's actually a perfect analogy. You can't debase it by creating more of it. That's the mathematical bedrock.
So the math is clear. But I want to connect this to something I care about. Freedom. The fixed supply creates a unique form of property. Something you can hold that no government can print more of. And that's operationally relevant for self-custody.
Go on. How do you see that connection?
Well, think about fiat in a bank account. You have counterparty risk. If the bank fails, or if the government imposes bail-in rules or capital controls, your money isn't really yours. Bitcoin, held in self-custody, has zero counterparty dependency. No one can freeze it, confiscate it, or dilute it. The fixed supply makes that possible because the asset itself isn't subject to political manipulation.
But isn't Bitcoin's volatility a kind of risk that most corporate treasurers can't stomach? How do they square that?
They've started to realize that the visible volatility of Bitcoin is time-bounded. A 50% drawdown looks terrifying on a quarterly report, but the invisible erosion of fiat is compounding every single year. Treasurers are learning to think in 5 to 10 year time horizons. When I talk to treasury teams, they used to ask, what's the downside over 6 months? Now they ask, what's the risk to purchasing power over a decade? That shift is everything.
So the pain is just different. One is loud and scary. The other is silent and constant.
Exactly, and you choose your pain.
Bitcoin Veterans is building a community where service, purpose, and Bitcoin come together. Through education, events, podcasts, and meetups, they help veterans connect, learn, and find a new mission in the Bitcoin space. Learn more at bitcoinveterans.org.
And we're back. So the intellectual case is strong, but is the institutional adoption real, or is it just one firm making headlines? Lauren, you've been looking at the data.
Yes, and this is where it gets interesting. There's survey data from January 2026 showing finance executives increasingly view Bitcoin as a Treasury reserve asset alongside government bonds, not as a speculative tech stock. That's a fundamental reframing. CFOs are comparing it to cash, not to Nvidia.
But the numbers still look lopsided. Strategy holds something like 90,000 BTC accumulated in early 2026. All other corporate treasuries combined hold maybe 4,000. That's a huge gap.
It is, but the direction matters more than the volume. Firms that entered during the 2025 dip and held are now ahead. The cost of waiting often exceeded the cost of Bitcoin's drawdowns. That's a mathematical fact, not spin. One firm bought at 60K, held through a 30K drawdown, and now looks prescient. The CFO who waited for just the right moment is still holding cash, losing 8% a year.
So the main barrier hasn't been the asset. It's been organizational courage to commit. What's the parallel for the individual self-custody holder?
Exactly the same. Buy and hold through volatility. Timing the perfect entry rarely beats disciplined accumulation. Dollar cost averaging or lump sum with a long time horizon. That's the pattern that works.
So the numbers back the thesis. But I want to bring this back to philosophy. How does this institutional shift affect how an individual should think about their own savings?
It validates the mechanism. If CFOs, people paid millions to manage risk, are starting to reframe volatility as secondary to purchasing power preservation, then maybe the rest of us should pay attention.
Right. So the operational takeaway for our listeners: hold a portion of savings in Bitcoin as a counterbalance to fiat erosion. Avoid the speculation trap. Don't try to time the entry. Use dollar cost averaging or lump sum with a long horizon. And most importantly, self-custody. Hold your own keys. Eliminate that counterparty risk.
And never invest more than you can afford to lose. That's standard caution, but it's necessary. The freedom angle is that Bitcoin lets you opt out of a system that silently confiscates your purchasing power.
Think of it like buying a house in a flood zone. The flood, inflation, is predictable. The house, Bitcoin, is on high ground. Yes, it's volatile in the short run, but the alternative is slowly drowning.
And that's the choice. The risk-free label on bonds is a lie. Bitcoin isn't reckless. It's a different risk profile.
Bitcoin Veterans is a group of military veterans, and Bitcoin advocates focused on education, community, and helping veterans build purpose and resilience through Bitcoin. From podcasts and meetups to resources and events, they're creating a place for veterans to keep learning and keep growing. Visit bitcoinveterans.org to learn more.
All right, let's wrap this up. We've covered the arc. Fixed supply is mathematically sound. Institutional adoption is a rational response to fiat erosion, not speculation. The operational lesson is accumulate with discipline, self-custody, and think in years.
No price predictions, just understanding the mechanism and making your own informed choice. Question the risk-free label on bonds. Ask yourself where your purchasing power is held and for how long.
That's all for this episode. Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Mike. Keep stacking knowledge and stay sovereign.
Thanks for spending time with us on BitTalk. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep stacking knowledge.